mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. As C.S. Lewis said in his introduction to his famous book, The Screwtape Letters, the general public prefers either to ignore the forces of evil altogether, to pretend that they don't exist, and to use cartoon images of a devil with horns and hoofs as an argument to the effect, you can't believe in that nonsense, so you can't believe in a devil at all, can you? Or they take an unhealthy interest in everything demonic and attribute every sin that we sin to the work of the devil, which can be just as bad in the long run. If we take what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 7, and Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 together, we see that our enemies that we struggle with are the enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. What we have in Ephesians 6 is a realistic and sober assessment, both of the struggle that we are engaged in and also the weapons at our disposal. So this evening, I will not be preaching on the full armor of God. I'll just be covering one piece of the armor, and that is the belt of truth. So my first point is the meaning of the belt of truth. Paul combines the weapons of a Roman foot soldier and a number of Old Testament images of God. When a man prepared for vigorous action in battle, he tied up his loose flowing garments with a belt. When a man is preparing for mortal combat, the last thing he wants to be doing is to be tripping on his robes and his clothing. The Roman foot soldier's leather belt supported and protected his lower abdomen, gathered his tunic together, and held his sword in place. The Apostle Paul has in mind the belt of truth, and the confidence that comes from the certainty of the truthfulness of God's word. The Apostle Paul is also building upon a word picture already present in the Old Testament. For instance, in Isaiah 11, the prophet speaks of a number of garments worn by the Messiah himself. Messiah shall wear the belt of righteousness, and faithfulness shall be around his waist. The Lord himself will demonstrate his righteousness as he vindicates the poor and meek, and he brings God's holy judgment against the wicked. God's judgment for his people is that he will declare us righteous, even as he judges those who oppose God. Strikingly, what is said about the Messiah in Isaiah 11 is applied to the believer in Ephesians 6. Understanding this Old Testament background helps us to understand that we can only succeed in spiritual warfare when we are connected to Christ, our captain, our head, and our Lord and Savior. St. Paul speaks of the belt of truth metaphorically to signify the truth of Christ and his good news. Jesus is the one and only true Messiah, the one anointed by God the Father to redeem us from sin and to restore all those who look to him to bring about justice and righteousness. Truth in the Old Testament and the New Testament signifies the way things really are, an accurate revelation of why things are the way they are and how God has chosen to set things right. The belt of truth shows the primary feature of the Christian message, that it is true. The Christian gospel isn't true because it works. It works because it is true. If it isn't true, it's meaningless and we are wasting our time. But God is true and his words are true and his gospel is true. Because the good news of Christ is good because it's true, thus the life has meaning and hope has meaning because of God's work of salvation for us through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in numerous ways in his epistles the phrase, the truth of the gospel. Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Ephesians 4:21, Paul, after commenting on the wicked lifestyle that the non-Christian Ephesians lived before they knew Christ, said this, but you did not learn Christ in this way. Indeed, if you have heard him and have been taught him, just as truth is in Jesus. Also in Colossians 1:5, the Apostle Paul writes, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you have previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. The gospel is summarized here in other parts of the New Testament as the gospel of truth and as the word of truth. The one true God has revealed himself through his creation, through the scriptures, and through the incarnation of his Son, in which God became flesh and dwelt among us. The good news of Jesus Christ is true. He has fulfilled the law and the prophets, and he has fulfilled his own words of his suffering, death, and bodily resurrection. What is distinct and unique about Jesus is not primarily his moral teaching or his ethical standards, although he was the greatest rabbi Israel ever witnessed. What is unique about Jesus of Nazareth is his identity, that he was and is God's only Son, who is fully divine, fully human, and his work of atoning death for us on the cross and his glorious resurrection. Especially relevant in the words of John's gospel to Jesus as the truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. As we hear this message of truth, which is the gospel of our salvation, we need to cling to this, for this is our very spiritual life, our hope, and our promise in this world and in the world to come. My second point is, though, I want us also to consider some of the challenges to the belt of truth. Let us never give up on the sheer truth of the gospel. It is like the belt which holds everything else together. But at times, Satan tries to throw darts of doubt and disbelief so that we can give up believing the gospel. We're told by the Apostle Paul there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for all to be testified in due time. This belt of truth is a call for us to continually wear this message, which is true, and which keeps everything else in place. Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh seek to downplay the depravity of our sin or the only one way to salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is him and him alone that can bring healing and restoration between God and humanity. So we must never walk away from this truth of the gospel. Another challenge to the belt of truth is that we can easily neglect to live in accordance with the good news of Jesus Christ. It's easy to live like we don't believe God's holy word and gospel. Let me give you an example. We've been taught a basic truth about God, that he is everywhere present, his omnipresence, that he is always listening to our words, seeing our actions, and knowing our thoughts. I submit to each one of us that almost every day we forget about this basic fact that God is everywhere present. I can remember back in the 1980s when President Reagan was running his second presidential campaign, and he was running against Senator Walter Mondale. On this particular swing of the campaign, he was riding on a train, and yes, his microphone was on, And I was watching him, and at that moment, President Reagan was not mindful his microphone was on. And so here he is, standing at the back of this train by himself as the train stopped for a moment. Reagan read out a message that was on a billboard, which said, "Mondale, he's the man." I won't quote what President Reagan said after that, but suffice to say he forgot the microphone was on. It's not only President Reagan or other politicians and leaders who have forgotten that their words were being heard. We all tend to forget this, this very important attribute of God, for we live and act as if no one is listening. And if it's bad enough that a politician or anyone else forgets the microphone is on, this is the 2020s, where there's this thing called the internet, and anybody can put out a mass mailing and quote what you or I have said in private, or they can say it, put it on Facebook or any other part of social platform. And so what you have said in private gets shouted from the mountaintops for thousands, maybe millions, to know and to read and to listen to. We say we believe the gospel, but we need to live like we believe the gospel. And certainly an application of living in obedience to Christ is the mindful and judicious use of our words. Now, however, after having said that, we all know that we have stuck our foot in our mouth more times than we care to think about. And there's where the grace of the gospel also applies. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. So God is everywhere present, and we need to live in that reality, that God knows the word on our tongues before we even speak it. He is holy, but he's also merciful. In reflecting about the illustration of the words I have spoken, I am grateful both for the grace of God and the atoning work of Jesus Christ for my sin. I am sobered, and it is my prayer that both God's holiness and mercy will spur me to use my mouth for good and not evil. Another challenge to the belt of truth that we can fall prey to is not being on guard toward those who oppose the gospel. We can justify the beliefs and behaviors of a loved one who doesn't believe in the Lord by telling ourselves, well, at least they're a nice person. Paul reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Not all people have faith, and not all people live according to the truth. So we have to make sure that we are not buying the spirit of this age and copying the lifestyles and philosophies and the thinking processes of a secular society. And let us be honest about the state of our nation. We are not a Christian nation. We're a pagan nation. We're a pagan nation. Own it. It's the truth. And we have to live like the enemy is trying to grab and twist and distort the gospel, because they are. We can't be asleep at the wheel. We're in a battle, a mortal battle. And just like it's hard for any soldier to stay awake for 24 hours, 48 hours, 3 days, that's hard. But we're in mortal combat. We can be picked off, were it not for the grace of God, but we have to pay attention. We are involved in mortal combat. Roman society was not against religion per se, as long as one's religious belief allowed one to say Caesar is Lord. First century Rome and 21st century America are very much like in that respect. Rome was also known for its decadence in relation to the abuse of power, its indulgence in sensual pleasures, and its selfish use of wealth. In all these examples, the misuse of power, pleasure, and money is detrimental to our relationship with God. and they can do great damage to our spiritual welfare without us realizing it. We must not treat the Christian faith and faith in the Lord Jesus as if he is some optional tack-on, like we do when we go to take a course in high school and it's called an elective. It's not something we really need, we just do. Jesus Christ is not an elective. He's not a tack-on, a convenient add-on. He is our Lord. Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary for us to have eternal life with God, just as necessary as breathing in air is necessary to our physical survival. So in all our relationships, we must keep in the forefront our enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil, for they wage war against both Christian and non-Christian. The enemies of our souls, Satan, the world, and the flesh, are subtle and deceptive. Therefore, we need to wear the belt of truth. We need to live and to know the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, which alone sets us free. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has taught us that in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, alone is salvation, mercifully grant that your faithful people, ever glorying in his name, may make your salvation known to all the world. Amen.